Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this show, we share information to empower your podcast. This is episode 46, and today's guest is James McKay.
That's me. Yeah. Well, only mom calls me James when I've done something wrong. You can call me Jimmy, though.
Okay. That's good to know. So, yeah, you are our guest today, and we're going to talk about your show, the PT Pintcast, later on. And we've got some news, and I got a podcast chronicle, and that'll be all. So just going to dive into the first news article that we got.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, great. The first one is about Apple. Every year they have the Worldwide Developers Conference that they host, and it's where they release information on features and services that are going to be coming out. Like, I know I think they're going to be talking about something with the iPad, and I assume the iPhone release, because that's a big talk this year, as it is every year. But they are doing something new this year, and they're going to be having a podcasting studio for people to record shows at the event. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I think this is cool. You hit me with the article, before we started talking, and I think it's a good sign. Apple doesn't put forth effort into things it's not going to back, you know, with its technology. I mean, it's a software company, it's a hardware company, it's a marriage made in heaven. They essentially literally invented podcasting, and to see them really put forth cool effort to kind of cater to podcasters at their giant event with a fully outfitted studio. I mean, they're catering to it. Just lends it to look forward to. And that's all you can do with Apple is speculate, because, you know, you get rumors. I mean, there's websites based on what Apple's going to do next, maybe. And to see them put so much effort into kind of catering to podcasters at one of their marquee events, it just bodes well, you know, for what Apple is going to do, or, you know, what they're going to add next. I mean, I think the separation from iTunes to a separate podcast app, you know, every time Apple changes something, people rage, as we both know. But I think it's a good sign, because I think it gives more, you know, more street cred to people who podcast and podcasts themselves. What do you think?
I completely agree. You actually used a word that I think describes it very well. They're putting the effort in. I think they've been putting a lot of effort in, you know, in 2017, because they also made the change from subscribe on iTunes to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And this is just another thing to show that they're up to something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're going to come out with some type of function for this for podcasters, but it looks like they're heading in that direction. And this is really nice for them.
Yeah. Apple rarely puts forth a bunch of effort or hoopla into something they're going to, you know, spend less time on. And I think, you know, the because you can hear a podcast on any device, not just an Apple device, which, of course, is kind of a hallmark of what Apple does, is they kind of make something really cool. And then they want it to infect your life. So they just kind of let it go everywhere. So I like the fact that, you know, they're putting forth even more effort towards something like this, and maybe they're gonna, who knows? I mean, we're gonna sit here and speculate for days and never actually hit the nail on the head, but they're gonna be doing something, and it might just be a tweak to make it, you know, more user friendly on either end, the listener or the producer, who knows? But the fact that they're doing something just bodes well for people like us who live in podcast world.
Exactly. I have a small fear that whatever that they're up to will involve a cost to podcasters eventually, but I really have no idea. Like you said, we can speculate all day long, but we don't really know. I do know, however, that they are making people sign up to use this studio at the event. And they said they're starting at 7 a.m. on Tuesday. The event is from Monday, June 5th, which is today, release day for this episode, to the 9th. And it's starting on Tuesday, the 6th. And they said either you sign up or, you know, spots are going to go quickly. So.
Yeah. Something as cool as being able to record your show in an Apple outfitted studio with experts and the whole nine yards is awesome. You know, when I was back in college radio days, I went to school in upstate New York, and we took an annual trip to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. We got to broadcast live. If you've ever been there, there's actually a broadcast studio on the top of the pyramid at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you can just do this, just what this is. You can reserve time and just bring your show there. And even as a college radio guy, it was still really, really cool. So to have something like this with the Macintosh logo, the Apple on it, that would be really kind of a badass as a podcaster, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And It says that they'll give you the recording after to do what you want with it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be as fast as some people want because it's probably going to be like the next day. However, it's not the reason for the conference. So it's kind of one of those, you get what you're paying for in that sense.
Right. It's like we both said, it's cool. They're doing something. Mm-hmm. It says that they see validity in it. They see worth, they see value, whatever that is, whether it's monetary or attention or just, you know, buzz for their software and their hardware. It's still a good sign that, you know, Apple loves the podcasters.
Yes, it does. It does, because they helped them out in a very, very early time of iTunes. If anyone is attending this event by chance or is just interested in hearing about it, I'm sure you'll be able to catch some of these recordings later on. And that's what's going on this week.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what comes out of it. I really would. So, yeah. Wouldn't mind if people reached out, because I follow you guys, so I'd want to hear from those people who actually got a chance to be in that room.
Exactly. And actually, you know, kind of not necessarily what they recorded, but their experience of it.
Yeah.
That's the part that I will care about.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. All right. Well, thanks for chatting with me about that. And next up, I got a podcast chronicle. So this is the part of the show where I give you an update on my journey through podcasting, I suppose. And this time it's not a whole big deal, but as this, you know, as we're recording this episode, this will be my last day in the office for a couple days. So I will be editing and scheduling and putting this all out while I'm out of town. So it's one of those days where I very much appreciate the ability to work on the go and podcast on the go.
Yeah,
those things where you're just happy to make it work.
Yeah, that's the beauty of podcasting. You know, I mean, my background, we can get to that in a little bit. My background's in radio. Mm-hmm. And I just love the fact that essentially you can have a radio station in your laptop.
Yeah.
And it can go worldwide. You know, mountains and geography and distance doesn't limit podcasting. It goes everywhere.
It's a beauty, and sometimes something that I take for granted, I think. Because I did also used to work in radio, and you know, I had to be there. I literally had to be there. And the only thing I have to do right now is be in the studio. And that's just because I want to use the equipment that we have. Like, I could pick up something else and record, you know, wherever I wanted, really, as long as there's an internet connection for us to be together in that way.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all it takes to get two people together or more and have a great conversation. And then it goes everywhere. I mean, I remember when I first, you know, decided to launch a podcast, and I didn't know the back end stuff, mm-hmm. which what brought me to you guys, Raw Voice and Blueberry. I pretty much just I knew that just because we were leveraging new technology, and like you said, you can kind of do it everywhere. It's still spoken word. This thing that we're doing right now is a conversation between, exactly. you know, you and I, but a bunch of people get to listen in. It's as old as the Neanderthals sitting around a campfire. This is just spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing is you get to leverage it with technology, but we haven't really changed it. I mean, we can add some sound effects and whatnot, but it really is just people sharing ideas in the most pure form. Because if this was a blog, and nothing against bloggers, I read a bunch of blogs, I can't express my voice that way. I just don't have that skill like some writers. But I want you to hear what I'm thinking in my way, in my voice. So
right.
yeah, to hear other people as psyched about it as you, and as you let people follow on your journey, it's cool to hear.
I like to keep people updated, obviously, because that's part of the reason why, you know, we're doing this show. But I also like to hear from other people too. So if anyone out there has anything to say, especially in regards to, you know, how they are doing their own type of storytelling, then tell me. I would love to hear about that. I would love to chat with you about that. If you want to be on the show, great. If you just want to have, you know, an email chain going on or a phone call, I would love that. I really do.
Yeah. Beauty of podcasting. I love it.
Yeah. So that is my my podcast chronicle for this episode. So now it is time to talk about your show. And I believe
my show.
I found out about your show because you sent us a media kit for advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually looked at it and liked it.
Cool. All right. Well, at least it went somewhere.
Yes.
At least it was opened by someone other than my mom.
Yes.
You know, you got to get your mom's approval. But yeah, so my show is, I had a background in radio but then changed careers completely and went back to school and got my doctorate in physical therapy. And while I was in PT school, learning about anatomy and physiology and physics, I was at a professional conference and listening to some guy on stage, and he was talking about research and the human body and exercise science. And I thought, man, this guy sounds like he is really smart. He knows what he's talking about. But I was still a student, so I didn't understand everything the guy was saying. But, you know, Mackenzie, we're in a room full of a bunch of people giving a presentation. We're not just going to stand up. No matter how bold we are most of the time, we're not going to stand up and just say, hey, I don't know anything that you're talking about, please. Can you start from the beginning? So fast forward a couple hours, and the best part about a professional conference is the happy hour. I see the guy across the room that I wanted to raise my hand and talk to, but I was two beers deep, and I could just go talk to him one-on-one. And I did that, and the conversation that we had that followed that, I understood everything the guy was talking about. Because I had that background in radio, halfway through the conversation, I was like, what if there was a microphone right here? I bet you a bunch of people would like to hear that. And fast forward about, you know, 4 or 5 months, I actually got up the courage to put together the idea for a podcast, which is, you know, as we alluded to before, it's just a bunch of people having a great conversation, trying to anyway. So my show is called PT Pintcast, PT for physical therapy, pint. Because I met the original guy and talked to him over a pint of beer, that's how I set up all my interviews. You know, I want them to be really, really relaxed and kind of conversational because that's how I learn best and I'm most comfortable. So I interview people within my field. Another reason I like podcasting is it's not broadcasting. It's not the background that we had in radio. It's the funnel is, as I've heard someone describe it, flipped upside down. So I'm really a narrowcaster, not a broadcaster anymore, because I'm really just trying to talk to physical therapists and people inside the medical sports performance, you know, human rehab world. And that's a cool kind of twist. You know, the average person's not going to care about my show unless they're into, you know, physical therapy and rehab. And I interview people who, you know, work for ESPN, but do injury analysis. And that's cool. But we get kind of deep. And that's what podcasting allows you to do. So yeah, started about a year and a half ago. And I've been tracking my results, my downloads with Blueberry, and just crossed the 500,000 download mark, which made mom feel really proud. She hung that on the refrigerator.
That's amazing and, for a year and a half.
Yeah. It's weird, right? Yeah. And then the other thing was 118 different countries. So I have no idea. That's like the cool part is I have no idea how it got outside anywhere. But, you know, you put it on social media. Next thing, a friend of a friend of a friend. And it's in 118 different. I didn't know how many countries there were in the world.
I know.
118. So.
That sounds like a lot. That sounds.
It sounds like a lot.
It sounds great, though. It sounds like a lot in a good way.
Yeah. I have two rules, and I don't like a lot of rules, and I don't think podcasting requires a lot of rules, but I have two rules for my show. I have to have fun and learn something. And as soon as I stop doing both of those things, that's when I'm done with the whole podcast game. And I'm like 205 episodes in, and I haven't missed yet. You know, I've had fun and learned something with the person I'm talking with every episode. It sounds cheesy and corny, but I swear I really do. I learn best this way. And I tend to line up guests that I already find interesting or want to learn something from. And I haven't missed on those two rules yet. And we're still going strong and we're still doing both of those things.
I think a lot of the time when you line up the people that you think will be fun or you're interested in what they're doing, those end up being the best conversations and the best episodes because you're able to connect so much better that way.
Yeah. I mean, if there was somebody who was, an aspiring podcaster or a podcaster right now, I would say don't even hesitate to write that person that you want to talk to an email, because enough people know what podcasts are. They realize it, you know, it's a time commitment, but not forever. And you don't have to go anywhere, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Hour, you get on your computer and you're
that's
done.
It. So, I'd say don't hesitate to write that person, whoever it is, an email and just say, hey, you might have it, you know, craft it well, you know, be professional. Don't just say, hey, come on my podcast. Give them a reason why, you know, not so much in to stroke their ego, but just to show the other person you have a genuine interest in talking with them. And here's why. And you're going to get way more yeses than you will knows. And it's just a cool way to have fun and learn stuff.
I really do think so. So since you have other physical therapists and people in your field on the show, do you think the majority of other people that are listening are PT people or people that are doing PT?
It's definitely for the practitioner. So, you know, we have the obligatory social media following. So I tend to do some small sample surveys and I just ask, hey, who's listening? Who are you?
Yeah.
And most of the people who listen to my show are physical therapists currently. A lot of student PTs, because the PT programs are 3 years and, you know, students are on the younger end. So they're into technology and into, you know, emerging stuff like podcasting, even though it's been around for a while, it's still pretty, you know, young.
And being on the go.
So
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say that well above 95% of the people who are listening are PTs themselves.
So I know that you're in a somewhat of a transition for your show, not necessarily for your show, but for your website and whatnot. So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So I started the podcast originally. It was myself and a classmate, and I was going to be the guy who brought, you know, the radio experience and the interview stuff to it. And he was going to be the website guy.
Yeah.
And then the website kind of fell off. You know, we both graduated. I wanted to keep doing it. He kind of didn't. So we separated ways, still friends. And I wanted to get a different website. I wanted to, you know, spruce things up now that people were actually coming to it. I wanted to be able to put some more stuff on it. So right now transitioning to a different website, and this is all out of my skill set. It's out of my control. It's very uncomfortable because I don't know what's going on. So in the last like 48 hours, as Mackenzie and I were preparing for this interview, my website's been up, it's been down, it's the new site, it's back to the old site. And I'm trying to make sure, because the only thing I really care about is the podcast feed. Do not mess with my subscribers or I will strangle you to death.
You have gotten...
Don't lose me my subscribers.
Yes, you have worked hard for them. You are 200 episodes deep. Losing those subscribers would be...
It would be bad.
Just detrimental at this point.
But I will say, I reached out to you and you got me in touch with Mike, who's like the master. He's the maestro. He's a cool guy because he also has a background in radio. So he gets all the front of microphone stuff that I'm talking about. But he works for you guys. So he knows all that back end stuff. The stuff that I used to have engineers at the radio station do. I used to just say that I just knew which end of the microphone to talk into about 50% of the time.
I really do love some of the time when we get people in here that have been a radio host for years, you know, similar to you. And then they get in here and they're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I've literally never had to be on this side before. And I think podcasting is so cool. And I wanted to move out and do this on my own. And now I need help. And
I always took care of my engineers in radio because I knew they can make you sound great. And they can make you sound not so great. So always take care of your engineers because they're your backbone.
Yes. Yes, they are a lot of the time. This is the PowerPress podcast. So I want to know if you even remember, how did you find out about PowerPress in the first place?
That was the guy that set it up. Small meeting in a bar, and it was the other guy, and he said he just did his homework and we were starting this from scratch, and he was kind of the computer guy, and he was familiar with WordPress, and then just did a search and said, you know, give me the, as the term we use in science, give me the gold standard, the, you know, the one that has been beaten on and still stands up to the questioning of how are we going to actually put this thing out. And that's how he found his way to PowerPress.
That's perfect. I know that Mike will definitely be able to help you, you know, make PowerPress continue working on your site as you're getting it changed and worked up and everything.
PowerPress has not failed us, even through the many different clicks of the website that we've done correctly and incorrectly. The PowerPress is held true and it stands firm still.
Yeah.
And the podcast is still up and running, which is the only thing I really cared about. But I do want to get the website up eventually. But PowerPress has not failed me yet.
Good. So I also saw that you're very active on social media, at least your Twitter account. And how do you, why do you put so much effort into that?
That's a good question. I don't think Twitter is the place for every single podcast. And the reason I do it specifically is because of KYA, Know Your Audience. I know my audience, or a good portion of it, is on Twitter. It's easy to talk to my industry, specifically of physical therapists, because I know a lot of them are on there. We share a lot of scientific articles, and then, of course, comes the flame war debate going back and forth amongst, you know, everybody who uses social media. Mm-hmm. But Twitter is a big way for specifically physical therapists to communicate. But I also have, you know, the standard other channels. I still use Facebook. I still use Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I've just kind of really started to dip my toe into the water of Snapchat. And I kind of like, you know, similar into radio, a new technology would come out. I remember sitting around the radio station. This is how old I am. Sitting around the radio station and someone brought up, so there's this thing called MySpace, right? And I think we should at least get an account for the radio station. And the older guys in the room were like, that'll never last. And the younger guys, the younger girls in the room were like, we should at least jump on because it's free. And like everybody else under the age of like 30 is doing it.
Yeah.
So we should give it a shot. So I typically dip my toe in the water of all the social media accounts and I see which ones are reactive. You know, I mean, I'm a radio DJ by heart, but I'm a scientist by trade, you know, being a physical therapist. I just want to throw some stuff out there and see how the audience reacts and then kind of plan accordingly. So that's why I wound up on Twitter, to be a long answer to your short question.
No, that's great, because I think a lot of the times people will, they'll do what you just suggested, throw a lot of things at the wall, but then not look at the results and just keep putting right. time and effort into places where they don't necessarily have an audience. And that's definitely something right. that you need to pay attention to, and then see where it's coming from and bank on that and, you know, put your time and effort into the right areas and in the right way.
Yeah, I think the number was something like, I mean, the last, you know, marketing book I read or something is that we're exposed to 6,000 to 8,000 messages a day. And by messages, we mean you walk past a billboard or a logo or something in the supermarket. And, you know, if you want people to remember, if they're not your subscriber, that's why it's so important to get them as a subscriber, is because mm-hmm. every time you push something out, boom, you've got a download. It's potentially going to reach their ears. But to just be consistent and to be in front of people and you know, content is always king. So I'm typically asking questions or sharing something and asking the audience, how do you feel about it? And again, my specific audience is very, very narrow. And that's what I like about it, because I don't have to worry about this. Is someone understanding this? I know that they're physical therapists. I get it. Mm-hmm. So I know that they get what I'm saying and how I'm saying it. But yeah, you need to be objective. That's also what physical therapists and scientists are. I want to measure things. So I'm typically looking at those Twitter analytics. I'm seeing, hey, I put out this poll question and I got 30% more views and interactions and retweets with this Twitter question. Why? That's the big W. Why? Mm-hmm. What did I do differently? Oh, well, I used a graphic and I asked a question and the question was compelling. When did you release it? Well, I released it at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And I got no reaction. Okay. Well, I released it at, you know, 4 p.m. On a Tuesday. Great. And I got a big reaction. Okay. So what was it? You can kind of tear it apart. But yeah, you're right. Throw it against the wall and see if it sticks and walk away. No good. But throw it against the wall and ask why it failed or why it succeeded. You get a better chance of making the next one a hit.
Exactly. I think that can kind of make or break a show and and a podcast, like the podcaster. Because putting a lot of effort into things and having it not go is exhausting.
Yeah.
To put your time and effort into something like
anything,
that.
But it does. You know, people like to say that the phrase pay attention, and they focus on the word pay and they say, well, you know, attention's free. And I'm like, but it's not, because your time is finite. You know, you only have 168 hours in the week and you're sleeping, hopefully some of it, and you're working a bunch of it. So that in between when someone could be, you know, messing around on their social media channels or listening to you. I mean, that's intimate. That's, you know, that's giving someone a lot of credit and, you know, time out of their life is a big deal. And if you have a 30 minute podcast episode and we're, you know, we're 20 something minutes into this one and somebody has taken their time to listen to it, value that, respect that, and make sure you only give them really great content. Don't fill it with fluff, but yeah, like it can burn the podcaster out, because on the other end, you putting a lot of effort into it, you want to make sure, you know, that stuff that you put into the mic and pulled out goes somewhere and, you know, and does reach those people. So yeah, I can see burnout. And I think, you know, I think I read somewhere, the average podcast, starts off and only lasts, you know, doesn't make it to the 10th episode. You're not going to see a giant, you're not going to see a giant reaction right off the bat, because again, attention's finite. So every podcast or new social media feed that comes out, you're competing with everything. You know, that's what I tell people when they ask me now, should I launch a podcast? I said, yeah, absolutely. But remember, you're going to be competing with, you know, Adam Carolla, Joe Rogan, and, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson. You're competing with them, which is cool, but also hard, because they're really, really good at what they do.
Exactly.
But you can be too. You just got to put the effort into it.
Exactly. It's a whole other beast that you have to master. That you have to look into and figure out, because you just said, you know, how many thousand of images and advertisements and things that you see every day. And when they are on your Twitter feed, when they listen to your show, they are choosing to include you in that. And the majority of the time, what you see every day is your choice. You're choosing to watch that TV show. You're choosing to listen to that radio station. You're choosing to follow those people on Instagram. So.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Oh, so I should probably throw the website out. It's ptpintcast.com. It's currently in a state of flux, as Mackenzie mentioned, but it'll look new and improved, hopefully, by the time this is released. So it'll be nice and pretty. And then on iTunes, Google Play, and the whole nine for PT Pintcast, if you're a PT or you know someone going through it.
Yes. Yeah, actually, the name of your show is what got me, because I have done...
Really? Why? I want to know why.
I love beer. Like, I really, really love beer. And then I have done physical therapy in the past, so those got me.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. We don't just talk to physical therapists. I know I said that before, but I also interview patients because just because you are a PT or you're someone in rehab doesn't mean you know how it feels. So yes. Mackenzie, you just mentioned you went through PT.
Mm-hmm.
I've, knock on wood, never had to have PT. So I cannot have that experience that you had. So your experience is valuable,
right?
Because it's not everybody has it. So I do also interview patients of PTs. I've talked to a kid who was in a coma after a car accident. Talked to a kid who had a thing called locked-in syndrome. He had a stroke in his brainstem. Fully awake, he just couldn't move a muscle. And then he eventually came out of that. I've talked to somebody who had a spinal cord injury, diving into the ocean. And just talk to him about and asking someone like that, hey, what makes a good PT? You know, you could be a PT for 50 years and not know the right answer or an answer to that if you've never been that patient.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that was something I wanted to ask you. As someone that, you know, you said your passion is with broadcasting, but that your trade is physical therapy. So why do you care about physical mm-hmm. therapy? Like, what got you into that?
Huh. All right. Well, so I was in radio, and as we know, fewer and fewer companies are owning more and more radio stations. So I had my dream job, was an afternoon radio DJ on a rock radio station, and I ran the place. I was the program director. I was the boss guy. So I got to wear, you know, suit and tie in the morning and cargo shorts and Guns N' Roses t-shirt on the air in the afternoon. But I guess, you know, because fewer and fewer companies, it was the Clear Channels and the Cumuluses and the Citadels of the world. The creativity was going down and the money wasn't going anywhere. So I started to get bored and I was training for a triathlon at the time, met a bunch of physical therapists. They seemed like at the end of their day, they made an impact in people's lives. And I was like, I don't even know the first thing about PT, but you guys seem cool. So one guy took me under his wing, told me to go take anatomy and physiology one at a local school. I took it, and the day after I learned how a muscle contracted, like what actually happens at a cellular level to make a muscle move, mm-hmm. I talked to him. And he said, how's the class? I said, it's the most amazing thing I'd ever figured out, and I'm just figuring out how one muscle contracts. So I guess I wanted to be able to make a difference, and just, you know, it was amazing. I was able to do a bunch of charity stuff for the radio stations I worked for. So we did make a difference. We were in people's lives all the time as broadcasters. It was an amazing experience. I think I just grew away from it. I wouldn't mm-hmm. say grew out of it or disliked it. I think I grew in a different direction. And a bunch of my friends are still in the biz, but you know, this podcast thing kind of came along by accident. And I thought I put away my headphones for the rest of my life, but it sucked me right back in.
It's amazing what can happen when someone gets bored. Like you said, you were kind of just losing that creativity feel, and you found it in a different outlet. Yeah. And that's
didn't think I would. I wasn't really looking for it, but mm-hmm. all of a sudden saw it, and it light bulb moment. Hey, I love this. And remember when I recorded one of my first episodes? I mean, I was still a PT student interviewing these smart people that I was following on Twitter, and I hit stop, and I was done recording, and I was like, it was like 11 o'clock at night. And I remember just being like, I mean, I was pumped. I mean, my heart was racing. And my roommates who weren't listening in, like, were like, what happened? I said, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it was cool. And that was it. I was hooked. I was like, I just want to keep doing this. And, you know, 200 episodes later, you know, I really do get that feeling. Even when I knew we were talking tonight, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, you know, this is going to go somewhere.
Yeah,
so that broadcaster in me, like I said, I still kind of dig it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like that, you kind of grow out of things, and not mm-hmm. everything is meant to last forever in that sense. So,
right.
You know, and I like to tell people that too for their podcasts, because a lot of the time mm-hmm. people, they don't know when to end their show. They feel like they have to keep it going sometimes. And I just want to encourage people, like if you feel like you need to take a break, or if you just want to end it or pass it off to someone, or just let it, you know, go to a co-host or something like that, that's not a bad thing. Just because, you know, it sometimes it's just time for you to be done with something.
Yeah, the audience, I always said the audience in radio and podcasting, the audience is always so smart. They might not know what's off or what's wrong, but they're going to know something's wrong, and they're going to be able to tell maybe even before the host.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're slogging through a podcast and you don't want to be there anymore, dude, the audience is going to check out probably before you even do. So yeah, but you know, take a break. I mean, I know guys who have podcasts that do 3 months on, 3 months off. You know, it's a very specific show. These guys review scientific articles,
mm-hmm.
And they come through. They do 12 episodes and they take 12 weeks off. They're fresh when they come back. They really like it when they come back. because it isn't, you know, a job for them. It can be a job for you. You can be a pro podcaster, mm-hmm. but it can also be a really, really cool outlet, you know, for a hobby or, you know, a passion or an interest.
I completely agree. And I think, you know, you're definitely still, you're going. You were passionate about this and you were going, and it seems to be going really well. So
yeah.
Congratulations.
And, you know, and also being set over a beer, I was going to mention that the start of every one of my episodes, I say, you know, the hardest question is always first, what are you drinking? So tonight I'm actually drinking a Longboard Island Lager. So cheers to the audience of the Power Press podcast.
That sounds delicious. I'm going to have to treat myself to something when I get home.
Treat yourself.
I will. So, all right. Give me the website and the name again real quick and anything else you want to share about this before we move on.
Yeah, so it is the name of it is PT Pintcast. So PT for physical therapy, pint for a beer, and cast for our beloved podcast. And website is of the same name, ptpintcast.com. And all the social media channels, I gobbled them all up, so they're all the same. So it's at PT Pintcast, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram.
You know, can I just end this portion by saying thank you so much for having your website and all of your links and ways to reach you by being the same thing. Like it just makes life so much easier and so much better for people to find you by having your website be the name of your show the name of your network.
Keep it simple.
Yes. Yes. All right. Thanks, Jimmy, for sharing. And we've got one more news article to talk about before we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, I worked in radio for a little bit and then I took a bunch of classes about this in college because I did media and business, and then you worked in radio for a long time. So this next one is a blog post that Steven Goldstein from Amplify Media just put up a couple days ago called "Why Can't Music Be Played in Podcasts?" I automatically know this answer.
I feel like Steven Goldstein could just wait, you know, 6 months and just repost the exact article. It's a really well done article, mm-hmm. Because he really does. He brings in an expert. So, you know, you and I, Mackenzie, had the radio background. And the reason we could play whatever we wanted on the air was the radio station paid for
it. Exactly. We were paying for it.
Why can't music be played in podcasts? Well, you don't pay for the rights. I mean, remember, I mean, the reason you probably want to use that cool song in your podcast is it's cool. And someone, you know, recorded it, you know, maybe it took them a couple months to write, mm-hmm. a couple weeks to record, but it took them a lifetime to get that good. So that person's an artist. So mm-hmm. they should be paid for their work. You can't just steal it and throw it on your podcast.
Also, when the radio stations are paying for this music, they're paying to play it in a certain way. They're playing to broadcast this. And podcasts, that's one of the biggest differences is that the reason it's called a podcast is because you can download it. Like that is the function of an RSS mm-hmm. feed. This is not streaming.
Right.
This is not internet radio. This is so you can download something and listen to it later. And that is called a recording. And that's where it gets a lot more messy too.
Right. So I liked how he brought in the guy by the name of David Oxenford. He's a partner in a Washington law firm. And you know, David just knows his stuff because he's not just a lawyer. He's a lawyer about this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good read. You know, a lot of people out there, especially in my field, in science and medicine, which is the category of iTunes that my podcast is in, a lot of people will share things online that are, how do I put this, old wives' tales or otherwise known as, you know, fake news or just bunk.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get this one thing that goes around with this. I've heard it a lot in radio. Maybe you have. Well, if you use 20 seconds or less of the song, you're okay. And that, I will just stay, no spoiler alert. Look, that's false.
Drives
that
me insane.
That does not cover you even one bit.
You're right. You can't use that. It does not cover you whatsoever. And just because you like the first 20 seconds, the intro of a song, and think that no one's going to find it doesn't mean that you're allowed to. And you can't claim fair use. And even with fair use, a lot of the time, that could go to a legal issue. That could go to a legal battle right there of a judge deciding, did you use this in a correct manner to, you know, they have a certain set of guidelines of, how did this help you and how did this help the public? Because it also, you know, should be benefiting the person that created that content as well.
Yeah, there are some conditions where if it's being used in a news report, so mm-hmm. people will say, oh, well, if you used it in the news. Yes, that is one of the caveats. Or an educational program, as you alluded to. But again, listen, is that song going to make or break your podcast? Exactly. If it is, you better have some other stuff on your podcast, because if it's just someone else's song, you don't have much.
You know, you can't call yourself a podcaster and a content creator if you're literally just playing someone else's content. It's not how it works.
But Mackenzie, my podcast is really small. You only have a couple hundred subscribers, so I'm probably not going to get caught. That's another thing that was brought up. But here's the thing. It only takes one.
One person to get mad. One person to make this go viral.
One person to listen to it. Somebody.
Anything.
You know, back in the day, all the young kids won't know what I'm talking about. But back in the day, we had a thing called payphones. And to make a call, you'd drop a dime in the payphone. So, yeah, dropping a dime on someone means, you know, kind of ratting them out. So it only takes one person to drop a dime on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the court doesn't care if you were just hanging out with your buddies and thought it would be funny. They can hit you from anywhere from $500, which is pretty steep.
Yeah.
But then that's the bottom end. It can go all the way up to $150,000 per infringed song.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go into, is that every episode? Because they can be considered separate mm-hmm. instances. So
is that every
you
download
whacked,
that you got?
Right, you get whacked $150. Oh, look at that. Even every download. That's a lot of money. And I don't know how much money you're making on your podcast. I probably couldn't swing $150,000 fine.
Yeah, the amount of people that, you know, take a hit on podcasts instead of getting money out of their show is not even comparable to the amount of money that you would end up paying if it went wrong.
And as I like to use the phrase, the juice, it's just not worth the squeeze.
No.
You know, I mean, using a copywritten song or a song with rights on it that aren't yours, it's not worth it. You know, the juice isn't going to be worth the squeeze. Listen, be a content creator. Mm-hmm. And listen, you can also do other things. You can reach out to people who are original artists, and you can come to an agreement and say, hey, you've got a great song. I have a podcast. What if we came together and I need an intro song?
Mm-hmm.
That's a perfectly reasonable way to get a song. You know, you could even have it custom made for you. You know, that artist might want to be paid for it, as they should, because they have skill. Or you can say, hey, if you've got a song that you want to pitch on my podcast, I'll use it. And this way you get some exposure out of it. And I drop a mention to you. And this way, maybe you get some downloads or maybe you book a gig in the future.
You know, the intro and outro is the same song, but it's a song that I got from a friend of mine who is an artist, who is a musician. And I asked him directly and I said, hey, I want to use this for this show that I'm doing. Do you mind if I use it? And we are also willing to pay you for it. And he said, go for it.
And let's drop a link on that right now. Who's the person? How do they find them?
It is on SoundCloud. It is Bonafage, and his name is Alex Card. And there is a link in the show notes to find the song and all of his music. And it's great. And, you know, he texted me a couple of weeks ago and said, I was doing SEO for, you know, my name to figure out what's going on. And he's like, your show popped up because there is a link on there. And then it reminded me, you know, someone asked me months ago. They were like, I like the song that you have. Who's it from? There you go. It's so much easier to go that route.
Yeah, ask permission. Trust me. I mean, I know the World Wide Web is big and vast, and there's dark corners. But here's the deal. You could get caught, and is it worth it? Or mm-hmm. you can use that vastness of the World Wide Web for you and find someone you really like that maybe is undiscovered and just come to an agreement to mutually help each other out, like the shark and the remora fish. You know, be very mutually symbiotic.
Mm-hmm. You know, this article ends kind of on a dark note in that sense, but very much in the way that we feel about it, saying really not worth it. And there's no easy way to get music in your podcast right now. And it's only going to become more of an issue because podcasting is becoming more popular.
Right. The other cool thing is, though, the people who do podcasts are pretty creative.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that the things we just listed about finding an artist and using one of their songs as an agreement, that's just one way. You're creative. I'm sure you could figure out other ways to get cool songs in there too that aren't breaking the rules. You know, not just because breaking the rules is bad, because sometimes it's fun, but because it'll come back to bite you, and it'll be a really big bite.
You know, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head right now, but there is a pretty common website that has just loads of music that you can buy specifically for your podcast that understands that is going to be used in this type of way, and that, you know, you can just buy it for your use. And that is a much better route to go than using whatever AC/DC song that you think will change
You're gonna call it AC/DC. Yeah, that one's pretty noticeable.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're gonna use a stock image without permission, you're eventually gonna get whacked. And also the article that we were reading to prep for this, they mentioned that there are people out there that go around and just look for photographs on websites that they haven't been paid for, and their job is essentially like, instead of an ambulance chaser, it's a copyright violator chaser, because there's money in this. So if you're a lawyer and you want to kind of be on the cheesy sleazy end of things, you can go around and look for people who just do this, who just violate copyright. Then you contact the person who owns the rights and say, hey, by the way, I'm gonna drop a dime on this guy, he's using your music without permission, let's go sue this guy together. So there are people out there who are gunning for you. So don't do it.
Sounds like a super fun time to spend your podcasting time and effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can also buy commercial imaging packages. If you Google that, you know, there's something called a buyout package. You know, Google that. That's where artists will go online and create content, music and otherwise. And you got to pay for it, though. It's not cheap. Definitely not cheap. But if you're going to do this, you know, semi-professionally, or you know when you go play a Wednesday night softball, you invest in a good bat and some cleats. If this is your thing to do, you're gonna have to put some money and effort into it.
Yeah, that's definitely something that comes up a lot. Is I see it happen all the time. You know, people want to have podcast hosting, they want to have all this equipment, they want to have a great website, and a lot of the time people are just asking, what's the cheapest route I can go? Yeah. What is the free version of this? And you know what? This is a hobby. Yep. I go to concerts and drink beer all the time. I have to pay for those. Like, that's my hobby. Yep. I'm not expecting you to do it for free.
Right. Bingo. So. Yeah, but I thought the article was really well written, and I think people should read it, even if you're dabbling in podcasting even a little bit, because it gives some really cool insight. And the lawyer David and the writer Steve, they ask the right questions, and I think David, who's a super smart copyright lawyer, gives it to you in really, really simple, easy-to-read terms, which is what we as podcasters want.
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite part about this, is that they brought in, one, an expert, and two, the expert made it very simple to understand, which is exactly what you want. You know, with something as simple as this, you don't want to have to spend tons of time researching it. You just need to know the answer flat out in this. This gave it to you, so.
Yeah, find the expert, ask him a question, and then listen to the expert.
Yes. You know, you can't just listen to the expert and go the other way. I feel like that's a poor choice on your part if you're doing that. So, all right. Well, that is what's going on in the podcasting world, and you've shared with your show, and thanks for being on today.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, thanks for doing what you guys do, which is helping get my podcast on the air and doing it so easily and helping me track who's listening and where they're listening. And by you guys doing what you do so well, it makes the stuff that I do really fun. So thank you.
Thanks for being on the show. Hope to have you back one day. And everyone, thanks for listening. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, whatever it is that floats your boat. Just keep on listening. We appreciate it. And that was episode 46. We'll see you next time.